Good afternoon, everybody. This is Steve Rivera, and welcome to Eye on the Ball here on KVOI 1030 AM. Good to be here on a Tuesday afternoon. It's about 25 shows in, I think. Today's my 25th anniversary, Bob. How do you like that? That must be my family clapping. I don't hear very many people.
Your family.
It's my family.
Yeah.
You know why they're clapping?
Kids and the dog.
It's Christmas time.
Yeah.
They want some gifts.
They love you.
Oh, yeah, right. It's all online shopping this year. So we'll see what we find for them.
So are there any basketballs or footballs under the tree
at the
Rivera house?
No, those days are long gone. Thankfully, it would have been soccer balls. They had soccer balls for, 12 years. Those days are long gone. Now they're grown up and don't need that stuff. And that's cool.
So were you guys part of like the Fort Lowell Shootout or?
They were part of the Tucson Soccer Academy organization. Dave Cosgrove, who you've heard on the show a few times. Ted Schmidt, who's the president. Very good organization where young soccer players go to play. Well, thankfully, my kids were pretty good. One played in college. And,
wow.
You know, those are the days. Those are the days of sitting on your chair and watching games for 12 straight years.
And you can be going, attaboy, keep it up, have fun out there.
Yeah, have fun.
Were you one of the other parents?
No, I watched.
You're a good parent?
I watched, yeah. The worst thing that happened to kids are parents, and I was not one of those. Because it does no good to do that.
Did you ever write like a metaphoric article on your kids,
comparing
it to the?
I'll show you. I'll bring them for you to read. Yes, I did.
Ah.
They're funny. If you kind of listen to me, don't you think I am a little?
Yes, absolutely.
I've written two stories about my kids being funny and sitting on the sidelines. Yes. Hey, but today we have a big show. Another big show. I really enjoyed yesterday's show with Coach Lopez. Maybe you came away with more wisdom yesterday.
A neat guy. Very, very informative. And I think I'd mentioned just getting his kids ready for life.
Yeah.
Which I think most of the people you interview that are coaches always mention that they're not talking about the W's and L's. They're always talking about A's and B's, which I like.
Yes, part of the winning, that other thing comes along. If you're a good person and you do really well and work hard, the W's just come right along with it.
Seems like that's the theory.
Yeah, and that's happened with Coach Lopez. He won a couple national titles, one here in baseball, kind of surprisingly in 2012, 2013. The years all come together for me now, but that's just what happens when you get older. Right, Fred? Oh, I'm sorry, Bob. You know, names.
You're right there, Mr. Buckmaster. That's what happens.
Yes, he does sound different today. Probably sounds like me. So we have Matt Othick, former basketball player here in the late 80s, early 90s. A great guy. Came from Vegas. I'm going to have him tell me some stories about loot. Maybe some stories about Brian Williams, about him and what he's up to now. He's in San Diego proper. I think he might be in Del Mar, but I think it's San Diego. And we talk about the good old days back almost 30 years ago. It seems long ago, but it's true. Wow. I'm looking back at 30 years ago. I showed up here in 87. So that's 31. 31, almost 32. Yeah, 31 and a half now. And then that's in about 10 minutes. And then at 2 o'clock, we're going to talk to a buddy of mine, Bruce Pascoe, who covers the team, the UA men's basketball team for the Daily Star. He and I were competitors for about 10, 12 years while I was at the Citizen, and we traveled with the team and competed for stories, things like that. Now I don't do that so much, even when I work for Fox and other people. I don't compete with him anymore. He's the day-to-day guy. I'm not the day-to-day guy, thankfully.
Are you thinking after your radio days you're going to do like Pac-12 football on television?
Oh, yeah. Have you seen my face? Does this glass work here?
Well, I really liked your old man. But I remember back in the day they played on real grass. None of this fake stuff.
Yeah, you know, dude, you can't get off my lawn.
Speaking of technology, I was watching the Skycam or whatever that's called. The Steadicam guy invented, and last night, and I don't think it was the bright yellow team, so that would be the Vikings, had the ball, and the quarterback got chased back, and the poor camera guy was on it, and it looked like he was just, the quarterback was going to hit the camera because he was trying to get out of the way. It was interesting.
Yeah. I saw some of that game last night. It was pretty one-sided at the end, but it was a good non-scoring baseball game for most of it in the fourth quarter.
It was
6-0 most of the time. Yeah, NFL. NFL is, I don't watch a whole lot of NFL now until the playoffs, but I do pay attention to it, obviously. Sundays are reserved for some of that, not all of it.
I was impressed with the Seahawks fans a lot.
Oh, they're the best.
They are. Painted faces and outfits, and we must have seen about 6 different Grinches. Well, in the camera shot.
It's one of the loudest places you'll ever play a football game. Yes. It's the way the stadium is built, the rabid fans, things like that. Yeah. The craziest, however, depends how you define crazy. But the Raiders fans, have you seen them, obviously, dressed up in, you know, their craziness, whatever you want to call that, makeup and criminal activity, whatever, because they're dressed crazily. And then, of course, you're a cowboy. You're the husband of a cowboy fan.
Yes, sir.
So that in itself is kind of crazy.
Well,
because they're a way on the other side in terms of trying to be, oh, a Grey Poupon, pass me the Grey Poupon, and let's cheer for the Cowboys, and we're the best.
And they hold a lot of Kleenex too, because they're crying a lot.
Crying a lot over the last 22 years. Yes, the last championship was in 1996. I say that because I'm a fan. I moved there to hopefully work, and I did work in Dallas for a while. But, you know, those fans are kind of cuckoo.
The Seahawks were deafening. It would come to third down, and they were just deafening.
Yeah, you have a lot of those fans. You have them in every sport, you know, if that's why they call them fans, and a lot of them are over the top. But it's a lot of fun. You have these fans here in Tucson, not to that degree.
No.
If you go to McHale, it's an older crowd. It's always been an older crowd, excluding the fans of the students, student section.
All 14, yes.
All 14, yeah. No, actually, and it hasn't been that good this year. Yeah. The section has not been that good. I've said it many times on this show. They have to find a way to get those people back. It might be a better schedule, but that won't happen this year. We talked about it yesterday, how the schedule is very poor, so people aren't watching. They're not even giving the tickets away for some reason. I'm not sure why that's happening. Someone on the internet, at least to me, was talking about how they could give those tickets away and find a way that the students can open those seats up. Well, it's not about that, because the regular sections, too, are very scattered or very empty.
Hmm.
And it's because of the teams they're playing. They're not very good. They're not fun to watch.
And what did you say the opponents get per game? Do you remember how many tickets they get? A couple thousand?
This is for football. This is for the American. Okay, basketball or football? Basketball? Let's say 100, 200 most.
That's it.
Uh-huh.
And football, a couple thousand?
Same thing. Let me tell you, but we're talking, I think you were referring to the Arizona Bowl. Arizona Bowl, because they get 4,000 or 5,000 each team.
Got it.
So, and that's different. That's completely different because they want them to come here and attend the game.
But U of A sports aren't involved at all.
Yeah,
right.
No. That's a different
thing.
That makes sense. So that's 4,000 or 5,000 for the Arizona Bowl. Typically, they don't get rid of all of them, so they have to kind of re-release them to the general public.
Got it.
Uh-huh.
All right.
And for U of A, I think it's 100. Could be 200 now. At least it was 100 when I was coming to the team. And they obviously don't sell those all the time because they're, you know, they come from New York or wherever they're coming from, and they don't sell those. So they sell them to the general public when they can't sell them to their fans of the visiting team.
Well, that's what I was thinking. Maybe that's what they could give out, you know, if
Well, the thing is, if those tickets are already sold, because most of them already are, because let's say you're a ticket holder, you're a season ticket holder, well, they're your tickets. You have to put them out for StubHub or wherever you're going to get rid of them.
Right.
Or give them to friends.
No, I was thinking of the opposition. If the U of A doesn't, the opposition doesn't take them, but they're already gone is what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see how good of a fan base Arizona has this weekend. And I'll tell you why. The game on Saturday night starts at 9 o'clock.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, it's going to be late for the older crowd and late for the younger crowd because the younger crowd is going to be out partying. and not going to a basketball game.
And
the draw of Baylor is kind of like, okay. Hey, it's already break time, right?
It is.
Wow, time flies when you're just talking about sports. Hey, let's go to break real quick, and we'll try to get Matt Othick on the line.
Where you bank really does matter. Hughes Federal Credit Union is proud to be recognized as the number one credit union across all of Arizona by Forbes. This national recognition highlights our commitment to high-quality products and services, our customer service, digital services, and financial advice. At Hughes Federal Credit Union, we offer higher savings rates, lower fees, and many free services. Make the switch. Join Hughes today. Visit HughesFCU.org/bestcreditunion. Certain restrictions apply. Insured by NCUA.
If your health care has become a burden and you're worried about being stuck for another year, you have options. Solidarity Health Share could be the solution to your problem. Open enrollment is here, and this could be your chance to unburden yourself from insurance. Take this opportunity and join Solidarity Health Share. Be in control, honor your faith, exercise your morals and values in health care. Solidarity Health Share offers an entirely open network, which means you choose your doctors and you choose your hospitals. Solidarity HealthShare members are exempt from the Affordable Care Act and the mandates that conflict with your Catholic belief. To find out how you can easily make the change, call Solidarity HealthShare today at 844-313-4999 or visit their website at solidarityhealthshare.org. That's solidarityhealthshare.org. Solidarity HealthShare, healthcare for the common good.
From the Window Depot. You know about our great prices and our biggest inventory on windows and doors. Well, now the Window Depot is the place for all your kitchen cabinets. And that's not all. Now you can get granite countertops at the Window Depot. That's right, we now stock a large variety of prefab granite countertops starting at $116 for a 9-foot section. That's less than Formica. So come into the Window Depot today, because now we have granite.
Kaya weighed just 1 pound, 1 ounce at birth and endured a grueling 163 days in the hospital. Thanks to research funded by the March of Dimes, Kaya survived premature birth, the number one killer of babies in the United States. The birth of a child is supposed to be a joyful event, yet each year about 380,000 babies like Kaya are born too soon, and many have serious health problems that can last a lifetime. But you can change that. Join 3 million friends, families, and colleagues in more than 500 communities across the nation in March for Babies. The money we raise is so important in fighting premature birth and other life-threatening challenges that newborns face. We're supporting research and programs that help more moms have full-term pregnancies and healthier babies. Sign up, join a team, and start fundraising today at marchforbabies.org. Together, we can fight premature birth and help more babies be born healthy.
Reliable and timely financial information from Bloomberg Radio Network, 7 p.m. to 6 a.m. on KVOI AM 1030. Trusted local news and talk. Tucson's diversity is celebrated in Mark Bishop's Morning Affair from 10 a.m. to noon on KVOI AM 1030, trusted local news and talk.
Trusted local news and talk, AM 1030 KVOI. We have our eye on business.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on KVOI 1030 AM. As promised, Matt Othick is on the line. Matt, how are you?
I'm great. How you doing, Steve?
Good to hear from you. I'm doing fine, thank you. You have some of the best pictures a guy can have on Facebook and probably in your game room or whatever with Lute and Sed and Tarkanian. Some pretty cool photos.
Yeah, I actually got that photo. I took it at Del Mar Racetrack a few years back, and I thought it was a classic photo. They were all out there together, and we got them all together and got that photo, and I loved it.
Well, it's a rare sighting when you see Lute. Now, obviously, Tarkanian is long past, but with Lute and Tarkanian in the same shot.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure I'd seen that any time.
No, you're right.
At each other's throats back mm-hmm. in the day, but I think they kind of reconciled as they got older, and it was a nice photo.
No, it was, and two very good coaches, obviously, in the college ranks, and both who meant probably a lot to you.
Yeah, definitely. Coach Olson was a great college coach and a mentor of mine, and as well as Coach Tark, being from Las Vegas and then playing for him with San Antonio for a while, and you know, growing up in Vegas and knowing his type of basketball and what a great team they had all those years, it was hard not to root for him.
Yeah, no question. Let's catch up with you right now. Does it seem almost like 30 years ago you were on the court scoring points?
It seems like about 5 years ago.
I know.
I still feel like I'm 25, but it's amazing. You look up and the years go flying by, but the same love for Arizona basketball is there for me. I love watching the team. I love watching Coach Miller, you know, make these kids better. And it's still the top program in the country.
Yeah, still in your heart is one of the best teams in the West.
Absolutely. And I think we're underrated this year. I thought we would be. It's a tough loss this weekend, but that's a really tough place to go play when you go back in that part of the world. And I remember us going back to Arkansas when we were ranked second in the country and getting beat. So those are always really tough games. But I see a lot of good things with this team.
Mm-hmm. Do you keep in touch with Sean at all? I know that he tries to keep in touch with some of you guys.
You know, I see him. I usually see him once a year in Del Mar, but I'm kind of behind the scenes guy, but I'm one of his biggest fans and believe in him big time. I think he's one of the top three or four coaches in America. And, you know, he's had a couple bad breaks along the way, but I'll say this. I've always said we were lucky to have him, and I'll continue to say it. I think he's a great basketball coach.
Yeah. I think you're about the same age. Did you play against him when Arizona played against Pittsburgh?
We did. We played against each other twice. The funny thing, I think the second time in McHale, we got into a little scrum between the two of us. But I think we were both pretty hard-nosed players.
Yeah, scrappy guys. Yeah, intense.
Yeah, very intense and scrappy and like to win. So I always respected him as a player, and I do as a coach as well.
You know, he's still like that.
Yes, I do. I watch him over there sweating through his shirt pretty much every game.
Right. Hey, let's talk real quick about you and what you're up to. You're in Del Mar or San Diego?
I'm actually in Solana Beach, which is right next door to Del Mar, and own a couple pizza restaurants in the area. And we actually, my wife and I just had a baby girl, which is amazing at my age, but we did it, and she's almost 7 months old, and we have our 2 9-year-old twin, boy-girl twins. And my son just won his basketball league, which was exciting. I coach his team with a friend of mine. And so it's been a busy time for us, but a great time.
You love challenges, don't you?
Yes, actually, I do. I'm taking on quite a few.
Yeah.
Some unexpected.
Yeah, no, that's very, very cool. And that's got to keep you busy. How are the pizza places? The last time we saw you, we were doing my fifth book, and we sat down and talked about the good old days. I do want to talk to you about those, but how are the pizza business going?
It's great. We own, it's called Crust Pizzeria. There's one in Carmel Valley we own, and we also own a new one that opened up in Solana Beach. So we are we're really enjoying it, and takes up a lot of time, but it's a good time.
Yeah, some of the good old days was when you were here, just post Steve Kerr, Sean Elliott. Although you had a chance to play with some of them, tell me about your time here. How would you rate your time here and maybe your career?
Oh, I think we had some of the greatest teams in U of A history. I mean, I got to play with Sean Elliott. Damon Stoudemire and Sean Rooks and Chris Mills and Judd Bushler and on and on and on. A bunch of NBA guys, and we were always ranked one or two in the country at some point in my 4 years. And the hardest part of my career at Arizona is we should have won a national title, especially my freshman year when UNLV hit that buzzer shot. But I thought we had two teams that were national title teams my freshman and junior year, and then would have my senior year had Brian Williams not left early. But the biggest thing that I think of is, one, we won the Pac-12 three out of my 4 years. We won pretty much the preseason. We won pretty much everything except a national title.
Yeah.
And that always, that always stings. But luckily they got rid of the dog players and got some better players and won it like 2 years later. So they got rid of me and a couple other guys, and they did pretty good.
Yeah, sure. I'm sure you were a dog player. You're a pretty good player. In fact, somebody's texted me, "Oh, you're bringing him back. What a feisty player he was."
Well, I enjoy playing the game. It's been part of my life since I was a little kid. My dad was obviously a college basketball coach, and I grew up with it since I was 1 year old. So it's a part of me, and I'm making that a part of my kids as well. They love it, and so it's a game that I will never not be paying attention to.
I hope you can stay another segment after this segment, but I wanted to have you speak to the listeners about the time when Arizona lost to UCLA, how much that hurt at home, and to break the streak, and where were you, and how disappointed you were sitting when you watched that shot hit.
That was a tough, tough loss. So basically Matt Muehlbach, who was my teammate and never lost a home game, had just graduated. So I had never lost a home game. It was late in my senior year, and I actually ended up that game on the bench. And as a senior, I'd never not finished a game, and I was in foul trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And coach always said, "Well, I was afraid you were going to foul out." And I said, "No, you wanted Damon Stoudemire in the game," which probably wasn't a bad decision considering what a great player he ended up being. But yeah, he was a freshman. I was a senior. And Damon ended up on Martin, and Martin came down and backed him in and shot it right over him and end the game. So that one stung, but we had so many great ones, being a part of the win streak of, I believe it was 74.
So I think it was games. 71, 72, maybe 74 right, off the top
now,
of my head.
Hey, we're older now.
Yeah, I know.
It always gets, it's going to be 94 by next, year or two later.
That's true.
But, something like that.
By the time your daughter's 12, it's a win 100.
It'll be 115.
Yes,
definitely.
Some fantastic big games there. Can you remember some of them? Shaq, maybe? Were you here when Shaq was here?
Yeah, We did a number. Shaq did a number on us. It was my junior year.
Down there.
And, down there we were ranked 2 in the country, and he had his coming out party against our big guys. I'll never forget Sean Rooks and Ed Stokes and Brian Williams, and he went off on us, and they ended up beating us at LSU, and then he got to come see what Tucson was all about the next year. He didn't do too good.
No.
He ended up with like 10 points and 3 rebounds and fouled out.
Right.
Rooks dunked on him a couple times, so
right.
We won by 20 and got our revenge.
One of the great lines was from Shaq that day, that game. I don't know if you remember it, when Sean was all over him and did really, really well, and Shaq turned to him and says, "Doesn't matter what you do, I'm still going to be the number one pick in the draft."
I do remember that. That was a funny time.
Yeah.
He was right too. He was the number one pick.
Right. Well, let's go to break, and if you can, maybe talk about your friendships with Brian Williams, Sean Rooks, the late great Sean Rooks, Sean Elliott, and some of those guys.
Sure.
Great. Thanks. Let's go to break, Bob, and come back on the other side.
Your head, you think you're mad, too unstable, kicking in chairs and knocking down tables in a restaurant in a West End town. Call the police, there's a madman around, running down underground to a dive bar in a West End town.
In a West End town, the dead end world, the East End boys.
This is Chandler with Mission Heating and Cooling. Our mission is to offer quality HVAC systems, provide excellent customer service at an affordable price. We can save you one-third of the cost of a normal system because we get our products direct from the distributor. We will make sure your HVAC system is properly installed and maintained. We also offer free estimates, free diagnostics, and no trip charge. Call Mission Heating and Cooling today at 822-8499 or online at arizonamission.com, 822-8499.
Next year's fondest memories begin with this year's Lexus December to Remember sales event. Right now, get Lexus cash and dealer discounts on all models with up to $11,000 off the new 2018 LS500. Get incredibly low interest rate financing and exceptional lease offers on your favorite models. Hurry in. All offers on approved credit and expire 1/2/19. See dealer for details at Lexus of Tucson on Speedway at Columbus, at the Auto Mall, or lexusoftucson.com.
Being there matters, and your United States Navy protects and defends America on the world's oceans. Around the globe, around the clock, Navy ships, submarines, aircraft, and most importantly, tens of thousands of America's finest young men and women are ready to defend America when piracy threatens global commerce, when disaster strikes, or when called upon by the Commander-in-Chief. Your Navy is there. When it comes to protecting and defending America, being there matters, and America's Navy is already there.
Adopt U.S. Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You're bringing your daughter to her favorite pop star's concert. Do you A, wear earplugs?
Isn't this fun, Dad?
I have a soft pretzel.
B, remember the moment with matching concert t-shirts.
That's going to be $180.
Or we can just take a photo.
C, show her how you used to do concerts.
We're going crowd surfing!
I can't! You're too heavy! Oh my God!
Or D, just roll with it.
Woo! Justin! Look at him over here!
Justin! OMG! I love you, Justin! I love you!
When it comes to parenting, there are no perfect answers. But that's okay, because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org/AZ. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Wake Up Tucson with Christy Simone.
Hey, it's Chris from Wake Up Tucson. Join us for a very busy Wednesday. Amber Smith from the Tucson Chamber, a reporter from the Washington Post, Bob Fineman with a Mexico report, Dan Shearer, Green Valley News, and Hall of Fame sports writer Corky Simpson. Wake Up Tucson, 1030 KVOI, trusted local news and talk.
Wake Up Tucson, mornings from 6 to 10 on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Trusted local news and talk, AM 1030, KVOI. We have our eye on entertainment.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on KVOI 1030 AM. I'm your host, Steve Rivera. I'm on the phone with former UA basketball player Matt Othick. Hey, I see your Facebook post and you another photo just to mention. You, Steve Kerr, Lute, Bruce Frazier, and Judd Bushler. Coming to school here for you must have been one of those great times, and you developed some of the greatest friendships you'll ever have.
Oh, yeah. It was a great place to go to school and play basketball, especially. And that was a great day. I was actually out in the Del Mar area. We all got together a few years ago to play golf and just reminisce, and what a great time.
Yeah, with great guys. I mean, just good guys. Kerr, Bushler, all these guys.
Yeah, I mean, one of the advantages of getting to go to a place like Arizona is meeting lifelong friends. I mean, Kevin Flanagan, his son is on, my son, they play on our basketball team together, and of course he's looks like he's going to be as big as Kevin was. He was 6'8 or 9. And it's just fun to have those relationships. Here I am 25, 30 years later, and Kevin and I are living in the same area and friends, and there's so many. Matt Muehlbach's one of my best friends I stay in contact with. And, I was Sean Rook's son's godfather. They're just such a close-knit group of guys back then, and it's very, very special.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, I'm trying to get Cameron on the show to talk about his dad, who we all loved and admired because he was such a good guy. Tell me about your relationship with Sean. He was well loved here.
He was such a special guy. One of the quickest witted, funniest guys I've ever met. If you tried to rip on him, he'd come back at you so fast, you better be ready. If you thought you're gonna get one over on him. And he was such a great scorer for me as a point guard. It was so nice to know if I kicked the ball to him, he was gonna score. And he always made me look good, and I appreciated that.
And he had a fantastic NBA career, a long one.
Oh yeah, I mean, he was, you know, 6'10 and a half, 6'11, could score so many different ways.
Ran the court.
He could run the floor, but he could shoot it. He had all the moves, the up and unders, the jump hooks, the hooks, and he was also a very good passer. He didn't like to pass it very much, but he was a good one when he wanted to be.
How many big guys like to pass the ball once they get underneath?
Yeah, I don't blame them. The guards get to dribble around all over the place with the ball, and then when they get it, they're ready to shoot it.
Yeah, no question. And they'll tell you, hey, Matt, that's your job, Matt.
That's right.
Hey, another guy who was a fantastic athlete, arguably probably the best athlete to come through Lute's time here, was Brian Williams, another good friend.
Yeah, we were actually high school teammates, and he transferred back to go to Arizona with me the same time. Actually lived with me for a little while in Vegas. We went to Bishop Gorman High School together and for a year, and then he ended up transferring back to California. But, man, was he a talent. It's hard to describe how good he could have been had he wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have a great love for basketball. But he had such talent, it was just incredible. And I always said, man, if he had a mind for the game where he really loved it, the sky could have been the limit. And I mean, he still had an unbelievable career. It just could have been. I don't think there was a ceiling.
Yeah, no question. I remember him running the court, having those dunks. But you're right. If he would have put more time mentally into it, he would have had a fantastic, even a better career, no question.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
You've had some great stories, at least that made the book, with him and your relationships. You know, him on campus, just a cut up too. I mean, very clever, very smart, very eclectic.
Very, very, very. He was a different type of kid, man. He was so much fun, but a total character. I remember when we lived together at University Heights, and I came walking in, and he got scared to death. I thought there was someone in the house. It was a mannequin. He had purchased a mannequin, and it was sitting right around the corner by my room. I'm like, Brian, what are you doing? What's going on in here? He said, oh, this is art. This is art. You need to learn how to get into this art. I said, okay, buddy. I'm going to the gym. He was definitely different, man. He was a lot of fun.
That was the difference between you were going to the gym and he was working on art.
That's right.
And music.
That's right.
And music. What about what about your guy, Muehlbach, who I think is fantastic? He's one of the smartest guys, one of the most humble guys I've met, you know, him and Steve Kerr along those lines. But Matt, you know, bright guy, an attorney. It's like he's the Pope's son or something. He's just, you can't find anything bad on this guy.
Well, he's like the Pope's son until you play him on the basketball court, and his nickname was the Bulldog. He was a special, special guy, special teammate, and, I mean, so unique in the way that he could defend, man. He could guard anybody. At 6'2.5", 6'3", he could guard forwards, guards. I'll never forget when he shut down Gary Payton. It was my sophomore year, his junior. To help us win the Pac-12 championship. But what a special, and just probably one of the best guys you'll ever meet in your life. I've had such a great relationship with him. And I'll tell you, we did not like each other when I showed up on campus. He was, we were fighting basically for the same
spot.
And,
yeah.
Yeah, so we learned to respect each other first, and then we became,
we became very good friends.
Along those lines, when you showed up, I think it was a year after Steve had left. Correct me if I'm wrong, but was there any pressure on you, and I may have asked you this question before, to be the next Steve Kerr?
Well, I think for myself, I was a very different type of player than Steve, other than we both shot it. He obviously shot it better than I did, but I could shoot it pretty good, but I think Coach molded me more into a Steve Kerr type of player than I probably was. I was a little more fancy and mm-hmm. had the Vegas flair when I showed up there. So for me, I never felt the comparison. I mean, people did it all the time. But I respected him I knew how great he was. And, you know, not living in Tucson and showing up there, I didn't really get it until I got older and figured out he was Tucson's son.
Mm-hmm.
And right. And I was playing in the shadows of a legend. So I always respected him, and we've become good friends. And, I mean, look at what he's done. He's a brilliant guy, and he's a great basketball coach, and was a very, very good player as well.
Who would have thought that 30 years ago? I had Pete Williams on last week, and he was telling me stories about he just showed up in the gym and the ball landed in his hand and he'd just shoot it and it would go in.
Yeah, I mean, I remember guarding him my freshman year when we were before the season started, and I thought I was, you know, something really special, as most freshmen do. And
yes.
Here's this Steve Kerr guy, and he's supposed to be the man, and I was guarding him, and I got into him and thought, this is no problem. And about 5 3-pointers later, right in my eye, I'm like, oh, my goodness, who in the world is this guy? And I've never seen a release this fast. And I learned real quick who Steve Kerr was.
Right, right. Did you ever have to – I'm sure you did have to guard maybe Kenny Lofton a time or two?
Oh, yeah. I guarded him all the time in practice. I was a freshman, and he was a senior, so – you want to talk about speed? That guy had speed and speed to burn. He was so fast and so hard to guard. He helped make me a lot better player getting to guard him daily.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And who was left in there? McMillan, obviously very. I don't know if you were around with McMillan. Were you?
Yeah, he was actually a grad assistant.
Grad assistant. Okay.
He was a mentor as well, and a great player. He used to practice with us a lot, and I mean, you could see why that team was so good the year before with
sure.
those guards and Sean Elliott, and they were that was a special group.
Yeah, yeah. Now that you're older, I won't say how much older, but you must get your competitive nature from the kids now.
Oh, absolutely. It's funny. I was telling my wife the other day when I coach these kids. I mean, my son's 9, and I coach a 9-10-year-old team. That I'm way more nervous now than I was when I was playing. It's crazy how intense and how into the games I get.
Yeah. Have you seen Mike Bibby coach yet?
I haven't seen him coach live, but I've seen what a great job he does.
Yeah, he's pretty intense.
I've seen some, it looks like he really knows what he's doing. I expect to see him show up on the collegiate or pro level here pretty soon.
Yeah, I had him on
if
Thursday.
He wants it.
That's what he said. Well, that's what he does want. He's almost about done coaching high school, and he wants to move up because he enjoys it so much. And he is very good. He's very intense, though. You know, you guys are all intense.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much all the guys that Lute recruited and Sean are guys that refuse to lose. You know, they have that mentality, and that's what it takes on that level to be great. And he's one of those guys.
Yeah, and maybe finally, before you go back to your business in San Diego, how was it playing for Lute, and what are your thoughts on him now?
It was, I tell you what, playing for Lute was an incredible experience. He's probably the most organized, well-put-together coach I've ever seen or played for. We were so prepared for every game. I can tell you, I remember looking over at Muehlbach saying, we're not going to lose this game, are we? He's like, yeah, we already know what this other team's going to do on every play.
Mm-hmm.
And he really was that prepared. And our practices were, I think our practices were better than a lot of our games. I mean, we had such great players.
Sure.
And they were intense,
I mean,
severely intense. And I'm just happy to see him doing well, great family. And I get to see him pretty much every year a few times. I like to go follow the team, and then I see him down in Del Mar at the races occasionally.
Right.
And I'm proud to have been able to play for him and try to hold up, his legacy and do the best I could for him.
Yeah, I know he's proud of you. Could you tell me real quick again about your restaurants and where people can go visit in San Diego when they go? Because, hell, Tucson goes to San Diego every summer.
Yeah, there's a lot of people out here. There's one, it's called Crust Pizzeria. There's one in Carmel Valley, Torrey Hills. It's in that area there, pretty close to La Jolla. And then there's one in Solana Beach, right close to the racetrack. So love to see people come out from Tucson and visit. We have a lot of U of A people in this area, so it's always enjoyable.
Great, great. Well, Matt, thanks for joining me. A lot of fun talking to you.
It was great talking to you. I appreciate it, and go Wildcats.
Go Wildcats. Okay, take care, Matt. We'll see you soon.
Sounds good. Take care.
All right, let's go to a break, Bob, and come back on the other side, talk a little bit more about U of A basketball team and the women's team as well.
Yes, Mr. Willard.
Julie, I just got in. There's no coffee and there wasn't any soap in the restroom. And we're out of copy paper. What's up?
Sorry, we have so many vendors. It's just so hard to keep track of them all.
Well, can't we get our products from one supplier?
There is a solution. Gibson's Office Solutions. Hi, I'm Matt Ewing.
And I'm Josh Ewing.
Give us a call today at 622-6738.
Or visit us online at gibsonsaz.com. Gibson's, your number one source for all things office.
Where you bank really does matter. Hughes Federal Credit Union is proud to be recognized as the number one credit union across all of Arizona by Forbes. This national recognition highlights our commitment to high-quality products and services, our customer service, digital services, and financial advice. At Hughes Federal Credit Union, we offer higher savings rates, lower fees, and many free services. Make the switch. Join Hughes today. Visit hughesfcu.org/bestcreditunion. Certain restrictions apply, insured by NCUA.
My story is yours. I am a mother.
I'm a father. A son.
A daughter. I am in recovery from a mental illness.
A substance use disorder.
With support from family and community,
we are victorious.
Join the Voices for Recovery. Our families, our stories, our recovery.
For confidential information on mental and substance use disorders, including prevention and treatment referral for you or someone you know, call 1-800-662-HELP. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
My name is Bobby. I'm a veteran and lost my leg to a roadside bomb. My victory was going from a wheelchair to becoming a weightlifting champion.
I'm Sam. I'm a veteran. My victory was finding a career I can be proud of and supporting my family.
America's veterans are on their most important tour, the tour of their lives.
I'm a veteran. My victory was going from homeless to home.
At DAV, we're on a mission to help veterans get the benefits they've earned.
I'm a veteran, and my victory was finishing my education.
DAV offers veterans of all generations a lifetime of support for victories great and small.
My victory was proving that disability is not a limitation.
My victory was getting my service dog and new best friend.
We help more than a million veterans every year as they face and conquer their challenges.
My victory is being able to be there for my family.
When America's veterans win, we all win. Help us support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
My name is Sean Hoffline, your favorite peace-loving hippie with a pit bull, a parrot, and a love of life, liberty, and faith like few you've ever heard before. It's Blue Collar Radio from the heart. I will be live with you at 1 p.m. right here in the Perfection Auto Works studios at 1030 KVOI every single Sunday after America Armed and Free. We still believe here the fight for freedom is God's fight, and to fight for freedom is to fight alongside God. Pax Domini Tecum, thank you in advance for your valuable time.
Trusted local news and talk, AM 1030 KVOI. We have our eye on news.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on KVOI 1030 AM. That was a lot of fun. I always enjoy talking to Matt Offick. He's part of that group where it was Steve Kerr, Kenny Lofton, Matt Muehlbach, Reggie, Khalid Reeves, all these guys.
I remember it was like one of the first days of your show when I mentioned Sean Rook, was it, and Shaq?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I remember them
going at each other.
Going at each other and just thinking, boy, that big, huge guy from LSU is, I don't know, he's awfully cocky. And now you look back and you're like, duh.
Cocky and pretty good.
Yeah.
Cocky and pretty good. Sean held his own against him from time to time.
Yes, he
the
did.
The funny thing about it is, you know, I mentioned Shaq telling Sean, don't worry, son, you're not going to be, I'm going to be the number one pick in the.
Talk about intimidating.
So that was the funny part. So about 10 years later, they become teammates with the Lakers.
That's right.
Lakers. And I was like telling that story. And Sean, and I would mention it with Sean when he'd come to town or they would have an exhibition game or whatever. And he said, enough, Steve. That story is old. I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to talk about that anymore.
I really like Matt's story going up against Kerr thinking, oh, man, you know, not a big deal. And then he whoosh, whoosh, here goes the three-pointers.
Right, right. No,
that
and that's
story.
That's how it is. You kind of walk up, okay, no, I got this guy. It's no big deal. And boom, it hits you. Hits you and you're down 15 points. kind of like Arizona was over the weekend with Alabama.
Yeah.
They're down 19 and then they have to come get out of this hole and see what they can do against a pretty good team. Not to say Alabama's a great team. They're a pretty good team, especially at home. And so they had to fight through that. I guess fall back to 9 at the half and then still have to crawl back in the second half.
Did you say next game is Saturday?
Saturday night, Baylor, late night.
Yeah,
9 o'clock. Should be done by 11 o'clock. I think we'll be writing about 12:30, done writing till about 12:30 here at McHale. So late night hoops.
I mean, like 15, 16 people there and a couple of sleepy season ticket holders.
Yeah, they do serve beer there, so there might be a few drinks there.
And maybe less than 16 people.
Right, so we'll see. I mean, it's a late game. They've had a couple of these in the past, but that's too late. That's too late to play a basketball game here.
What's the – they're trying to go for the West
TV
Coast?
TV stuff.
Where's Baylor?
In Waco, Texas.
Well, that doesn't why
Waco, Texas. It's just one of those things where they get it in a TV window, and that's where they're going to show it.
And who's the contract with ESPN?
It's ESPN, yeah.
The Ocho. Do you remember that from that movie that was?
I do remember that. You come up with some weird things, funny things to me, but weird things. I'm glad we can have this conversation. You know why? Because you're not into sports, and I'm okay with that because it's for better conversation.
I'm more of a fan, I think, than you are.
Yes. You know, how about that score the other day, you know?
Is that me?
You could be that guy. You're not that guy. Thank you.
How was that score?
Let me work on that.
How was that score?
You know that geeky voice that you hear?
Yeah, well, you know, did you see that Jerry Rice scored the touchdown or something?
Yeah, right. Who cares?
Boy, that Gretzky, he can shoot three-pointers.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Oh, man. Enough already from that corner. So maybe you go to the game Saturday? Probably not.
If I could get...
There's going to be plenty of tickets.
I got some free tickets years back, and I took my dad, and I swear the ceiling was like a foot above us, and the wall was about 3 feet behind us, and neither of us enjoyed it, because, you know, if you hold your hands out in front of you and make a square, a rectangle the size of the court, and then compare that to your TV at home... You know, like my dad says, at home I can pee when I want to. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you something. One of the reasons, and not that I'm a conspiracy theorist or whatever, that football is suffering from that, because why would you go to a game where it's 45, 50,000 people? You have to pay for the ticket. You have to park. You have to walk in the heat, yada, yada, when you can sit in front of your comfortable couch or in front of the TV on your couch and watch this game on a 65-inch screen.
But that's where the fan part comes into play, because, as I mentioned, I don't care if they had the Sugar Skulls on TV. I really want to take my daughter to that and going with my wife to basketball games. We get into it. We're singing.
Yeah,
we're
sure.
Hopping up and down, high-fiving, and we're not, you know.
I think you're exactly right with that.
You don't do that. You might yell at home and go, oh, come on, you idiot.
Unless you have 20 people in your room on the couch doing the same thing, eating pizza, drinking beer, and having fun, you don't get the same experience. And, of course, you won't get that experience. But you know what? Here in Arizona, it's just kind of strange. You know, people I've talked to say, yeah, it's fun, but the music's too loud. Or, you know, I sit next to people who are grumpy. Or whatever.
Were they talking about their house?
Yeah, no, let me tell you something. Some people, I remember going as a fan once or twice, sitting on the west side, that's where the donors are or whatever, and they sit down, you know, watch the game. Honestly, I'm not joking. And that's the case sometimes. And more power to them. You know, they pay for their seats. They can say whatever they want, but you don't have to abide by it, obviously, because you're there for the enjoyment of the game as well. So, you know, that's just not in Tucson. That's everywhere. You're going to have the fuddy-duddies who just go to the game to watch the game and
that's seen. One of those sports techno terms, though, right?
Fuddy-duddies?
Yeah. Fuddy-duddy?
I think I'm in that area of age. Fuddy-duddies?
I don't know. I think you have another 20 years before you can use the phrase fuddy-duddy or get off my lawn.
I shaved today. So that's why
I look younger. You look like you're 26 all over again. Means I got to shave tonight if you're shaving.
Christmas present will be there on time.
I got to tell you, in the morning when I don't shave, I always think, well, Steve doesn't. Why do I have to?
That's right. Steve sometimes doesn't wear pants. Yeah, wear shorts to the office.
You know, we should do that. When you get to be big time, we'll do the show.
Wait, what? Get to be.
Well, when you get your next contract, we'll do the show from your home, and we can wear PJs. You know, there's supposed to be a camera in the new studio.
Oh,
Did you know that?
I'm going to have to comb my hair and stuff.
Yeah. And maybe we'll be on The Ocho.
The Ocho. HD. I hope it's not HD, because then you'll see all my wrinkles. But that's cool. We're radio guys.
That's what makeup's for.
We're radio. We're going to have that here. Is it in the budget?
I could get my daughter. She doesn't, doesn't let her have a lot, but she might have a little blush.
Yeah, sure. I do need a little blush. I need whatever will help. So, I'm going to have Bruce Pascoe on in the next hour.
Awesome.
We're going to talk a lot of basketball. Actually, like I said, him and I go back a long time when he was in Vegas and I was covering, U of A here. Then he came here. I kind of wanted his job in Vegas when he covered TARC. I would have switched jobs with him in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
I had a pretty good gig at the Citizen when he was at the Star and at the Vegas Review Journal. But we're going to talk to him in about 10 minutes.
How many years ago was that?
25-ish, maybe? 25-ish? Long time ago. Time flies. I mean, Matt was talking about it, how he's been gone almost 30 years, and it doesn't seem like 30 years. That was one of my first teams. Sean Rooks, him, Wayne Womack, some of the other guys. Khalid, I think, was a freshman. It was the good old days, really the good old days for me, because I was in my early 20s.
Yeah, but to hear guys in their 40s saying, yeah, well, we are getting older, and you're like, I got 10 years on you. Don't say that.
My knees are as old as you. It just hurt, you know, getting up.
My grandmother used to always tell my father, Bill, wait till you get old. I mean really old.
When is that really old?
I think she meant like late 80s. My grandmother lived to be 91, and my dad passed that.
I have enough money to give me the next week, Bob. I just have enough money to give me the next week. 80s. That's big.
Well, longevity is a good thing as long as, you know, you feel good. And as the story goes, there was a young guy that said to this old man, I think it was in a doctor's office, how old are you? And the guy says, I'm 93. And the young guy says, man, I don't ever want to live to be 93. And the old guy says, you may not think that when you're 92.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, good first hour talking to Matt. I think talking about age and how old we are. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I'm going to go cry now. I'll be back for the second hour and talk to Bruce Pascoe of the Arizona Daily Star. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you guys on the other side.